Last week, a long list of technology leaders and researchers signed an open letter calling for a minimum 6-month moratorium on further development of artificial intelligence in order to prevent what they say are profound risks to humanity. The letter reads in part, quote, "Should we automate away all the jobs, including the fulfilling ones? Should we develop non-human minds that might eventually outnumber, outsmart, obsolete, and replace us? Should we risk loss of control of our civilization?" Our next guest says a slowdown is a pretty good idea. Sigal Samuel is a senior reporter for Vox's Future Perfect and co-host of the Future Perfect podcast. Sigal, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much.
Can you lay out some of the main concerns in this petition signed by a lot of pretty big names, including people in the artificial intelligence field?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, there are a number of concerns. And, you know, whether you're concerned about the more far out speculative ones that could happen down the line, or whether you're concerned about harms happening from AI right now, I think there's like a big tent approach here where we might want to say, hey, there's a lot of potential harms here that might merit a slowdown. So, you know, in the short or immediate term, there's people who are being harmed right now by algorithmic systems that are, you know, for example, predictive policing that, you know, that are leading to arrests, sometimes wrongful arrests. There's, you know, all sorts of people who have to help build these systems that then incur PTSD or trauma because they're looking at traumatic content and having to label it, often for maybe, you know, $2 a day in the case of some workers who are helping train some of these AI systems. There's a lot of, you know, concrete current harms, especially to minorities, to people of color. And there's, I would say, some sort of mid-range concerns. Like, what will this do to democracy? There's some concern that, particularly if we have a proliferation of different AI models, you know, for example, you saw perhaps the concern about woke AI, ChatGPT being too woke. So you have some conservatives talking about wanting to create their own AI models. This could lead to concern about echo chambers and further polarization. So basically concerns that we saw with social media, but this time on steroids, that polarization being turbocharged by AI. And then farther down the line, you have the more speculative concerns about what if AI could one day pose an existential threat to humanity, potentially wiping us out, not because AI has any ill will towards humans per se, but just because it's, you know, we haven't taken sufficient care to program the AIs in a way that makes sure that in the service of meeting their goals, they don't accidentally do something that we really don't want them to do, such as unleash a pathogen that wipes out humanity or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think you and your piece cite the example, you know, when we try to say, hey, artificial intelligence, solve this video game, get the highest score you can.
Yes.
It might play the game the best way possible, or it might hack into the source code and give itself all the points in the world.
Exactly. So this is what's called AI's alignment problem, which is basically like you get what you ask for, not what you want. So, you know, the sort of like a small example would be like, yeah, like a video game where, you know, we have seen the AI get a high score in the game, not by playing fairly or learning game skills like we wanted to learn, but just by hacking the scoring system. And, you know, so you could imagine a scenario where we build a super smart AI system, we program it to do something like calculate the number of atoms in the universe. We think that's a fine goal. But the AI might realize it can do a better job of that if it gains access to all the computer power on Earth. And so it releases a weapon of mass destruction that wipes us all out, like maybe a virus that kills everyone but leaves the infrastructure intact. So now it's free to use all the computer power. And in that scenario, we get what we asked for. We get the number of atoms in the universe beautifully, rigorously calculated. But obviously, we're not getting what we wanted. That's an example of what the alignment problem could look like if it's really dialed up a few notches in the future.
Now, you wrote a piece where you tackle the argument, hey, if we can do this and somebody sees a way to make money doing this, it's going to happen. There's no way to slow down the development of a technology like this. you don't buy that.
I don't buy that. Yeah. So this is the myth of technological progress being inevitable, right? The sort of technological inevitability myth. I think that's a myth that tech industry often tells itself and tells the rest of us. And it's a common refrain that I've heard when I interview people in Silicon Valley. But it's just not true. If you look at history, there's lots of technologies we've decided not to build or that we've built but placed very, very firm restrictions on, even when there's a lot of economic value to be reaped from those technologies. So, think about the cloning of humans or genetic manipulation of humans, even gene drives, different types of genetic modification that we either don't do or we've placed extremely tight restrictions on. That's just an example of showing that, in fact, we can have moratoria on these kinds of things. In fact, there was the famous Asilomar conference in the 70s where, DNA, early recombinant DNA researchers organized a moratorium on certain kinds of experiments in the field of recombinant DNA. So it clearly is something that can be done. The question is whether we have the will to do it.
And you quote the famous Mark Zuckerberg quote, move fast and break things. Meaning do the thing, we'll figure out the consequences later. You make a case that in this particular instance, let's slow it down and think about consequences a little bit. Do you see that happening, especially after this letter came out?
Do I see a slowdown happening?
Yeah.
So far, we don't see a slowdown happening. We do see lawmakers, policymakers sincerely interested in trying to figure out how to regulate this space. I think people are realizing, and by the way, the public is realizing, there was just a YouGov America poll that came out where 69% of people said they support a 6-month pause on some kinds of AI development. And that was a pretty big poll, over 20,000 US adults. And I think lawmakers too are starting to realize, look, we shouldn't just throw up our hands and say, oh, this technology is inevitable, there's nothing we can do. We should think about, all right, if there are certain incentives, like profit incentives, prestige incentives, to move fast and like be first out of the gate with this tech, let's think about how we can reshape the underlying incentive structure that drives all the actors in the industry. And of course, one big way to reshape the incentives is regulation, right? To make it make people think twice before they put out a new AI model, for example, by creating laws that would make them liable, that would hold them accountable for AI-caused harms. And that's one of the things that this pause letter calls for.
Seagal, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
That's Seagal Samuel, senior reporter for Vox's Future Perfect and co-host of the Future Perfect podcast. She talked to us today about why many technology leaders and researchers are calling for artificial intelligence developers to slow down.